welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
So it is truly wonderful to be here in this time with everybody to see you. Thanks for extending that beautiful, warm welcome and love to one another. As we move into this time, and you can sit down, you don't have to stand up for all the rest of this. As we move into this next part of our worship, I want to ask you to do me a favor. I want to ask you to be mindful of a time in your life when you encountered God in a way that changed you. A time in your life when you encountered the risen Christ and you were changed because of that encounter. Now maybe that encounter happened to you in a moment when you fell in love or professed that love to someone. Maybe that moment came in a high time in your life, in a graduation or the birth of a child. Maybe that encounter with God came at a low point in your life when you desperately needed him, when the waters were rising or the diagnosis came or the tears were flowing. What happened to you when you truly were encountered and encountered the living Christ? I could think of so many moments in my life that I could share right now, but for reasons that will become obvious as I continue to share this morning, one of those moments for me was when I went on the walk to Emmaus back in 2002. It seemed like the whole retreat, the whole 72 hours was planned just for me. And I knew everybody in the room felt exactly the same way. It was so communal for all of us, but it was so personal. And I remember some moments. I remember one in particular, and I was standing in the middle of a communion service, and I felt myself being resistant to what was going on, and the person was calling us forward and inviting us to receive communion, and I was kind of felt myself internally just kind of digging in my heels a little bit, and I remember saying, God, I just don't want to do this today, and I remember God clearly saying to me, Chris, I've never asked you to be the savior of the world. That's my job. And I didn't realize, even at that point in my life, how much in the early time of being a pastor that I was trying to fix everything, that I was trying to do God's part of the work. And I felt in that moment this just flood of release, like so much that I don't have to try to take care of. And I began to weep and I cried. I cried for like an hour straight. I mean, I think that the leaders of that weekend thought they must have had like some unrepentant serial killer on their hands or something. I mean, I cried and cried and cried. Because that moment in the presence of God left me forever changed. How has your life been changed by those moments? It's Easter. Everything changes. And you and I again today are invited to walk in that truth. Let's pray. God, here we are in the park, town center. Thankful for such a beautiful morning. Thankful to be together. But God, we are here for even more than that. We are here to hear your voice. We are here to experience the fact that you have risen, not just to remember that you did it, but again to experience and encounter you, your Holy Spirit within us, breathing, loving, reaching out to us, calling us deeper. So come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your presence. Help us to hear what you want us to hear today. And may it all be for your glory through Christ our Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, but even a day like Easter is a day that can be taken for granted. We get used to it, right? It happens every year. Even coming here, though this year feels a little more special because we haven't been able to do this much. But this is a day that we can take for granted, but it's a day that changed history forever. On this day, the people that were doing the story, that were in the middle of it the very first time, their expectation for today was not that it was going to be a world-changing day. Their expectation was that they were going to be mourning all day long because Jesus had died. Their expectation is that their hopes and their dreams for the future have all been shattered and lost. And even when the women began to come to the tomb, there's the angel meeting them, saying, "I know who you're looking for. It's Jesus. He's not here. You're looking for the living among the dead. He's risen. He's alive." And everything changed at that moment. In that moment, an Easter people were born. Now, it took a lot of years for Easter to get put on the calendar as a day. I even love the fact that it wanders around and that you have to figure it out by the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. Because the day that it lands on isn't what's really important. We are called to be an Easter people every single day. And what we celebrate is that on the third day he rose again, and then on the fourth day they chose him again. And we get to choose on our fourth day journey. Now, on that morning, there were confusing reports coming in. The women were coming back, and everyone you see, I love that no matter what gospel you read, Mary Magdalene is always a part of the story. But the reports are confusing. They're telling us that the companions, those who are gathered, that he's not there. And then when the first disciples go and read, again, it's confusing that the tomb's empty. What's going on? The most real thing in the whole story right now is that Jesus was crucified. We saw that with our eyes. We heard what was going on. What were the followers of Jesus supposed to do with this shocking twist of events? What they're about to do is they're about to go through a series of crossroads. Let me share one of them. This is from Luke 24. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, and their face were downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened here in these last days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He's a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. And in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, that they didn't see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are. How slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it. And he gave it to them. And their eyes were open. And they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?" And they got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. We've been inviting you through this whole Lenten season to go through a crossroads journey with us, to stand at the crossroads and look, to ask for the ancient paths, to ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
So what are some of these crossroads that these disciples were facing? Well, first, the first crossroad that they have to stand in is, who is Jesus really? And who are we? We see here that it says that two of them were going to a village. Two of them, who's them? It's not the 11. We know that because they're going to go back and meet with the 11, but they're in such close proximity. That in verse 22, it says, some of our women went to the tomb and some of our companions went and checked it out. Maybe they're part of the 72 that Jesus sent out in Luke 10. Or maybe they're part of the 120 that's going to be gathered together in Acts chapter 1. But whatever reason, they are in close proximity to the events, to the emotions, and to the commitment to follow Jesus. When they're asked by Jesus what they're talking to, did you notice? They stood still, and all they could see was their pain and their grief. From their vantage point, all they can hear and know is that Jesus was a prophet, powerful in word and deed. Jesus was crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one who is going to redeem Israel. Do you hear that? Their hopes are dashed. Their dreams are shattered. We had hoped. And if the crucifixion negates all the things that have happened before, if Jesus ended, then who are we now? If we were that connected and committed to Jesus and he's not who we thought he was, then who are we? Are we just now committed followers of a dead prophet? Are we just committed followers of an almost redeemer? Do you hear the dilemma? Do you hear the crossroad? Who am I now? A Jew? A Gentile? A fisherman? A tax collector? Who am I? The second crossroad that they have to work through is, what do I do now? I was planning on following Jesus, but that's not happening. So what do I do now? And these two, they've made a decision. They're obviously not sticking around in Jerusalem. They've decided they're going to head out. Now, whether Emmaus is their home or Emmaus is somewhere on the way to somewhere else, they begin that journey. I want to say today that Emmaus is them going back to their life before they met Jesus. That they are going back to what they knew. It was great while it lasted. It was amazing to hang out with him. But now I'm going back to work, back to reality, back to what I knew before. It's Simon Peter in John 21 saying, I'm going fishing. I know at the end of those Emmaus walks, those spiritual retreats and times, that there's this huge pull by the world, that when you come off of that walk and you've encountered Jesus, that the world's going, okay, that's fine. Now you need to get back to work and you need to put that aside. You need to file that away, tuck it in your spiritual pocket or something, but you need to get back to the real world because that's not it. But I love in this story how if they're heading back to their life before meeting Jesus, who do they meet? Jesus. He steps into that moment and he doesn't allow them to just go back to life the way it was before they met him the first time. He meets them right there again. And he asks them, what's going on? Why are you walking this way? And in that moment, he begins to show them the ancient paths. He reveals to them all that the scriptures say about him, all that the Old Testament, all that Moses, all that the prophets said about him, Jesus, to them. And then they have another crossroad moment. It's getting dark. And Jesus is going to go on. And they have to decide in the middle of their grief, the middle of their hurt, the middle of this moment, are we going to invite him in or not? Are we going to show a hospitality? Are we going to invite Jesus, who we don't recognize yet, but he's speaking truth out of scripture? Are we going to invite him back into our story, or are we just going to go on and head the direction that we're traveling right now? They invite him in. Go back to that question I asked you at the beginning. In those moments, in your crossroad moments and mine, are we inviting Jesus into them? To change them? And transform them? Stay with us. It's nearly evening. The day's almost over. And the beautiful thing is, he didn't say, nah, guys, I'm fine. No, when they invite him in, he goes in. When the invitation is extended, he goes in for the next level of encounter. Now what do you do? Jesus has just shown them the ancient path. Now he's going to show them the good way. He's going to reveal to them what they need to know for the rest of their journey. He's at the table. He takes the bread. He gives thanks to God. He breaks the bread. And when he breaks the bread, familiarity floods them. And not just familiarity, but a newness, a freshness, a new recognition. All of a sudden, all of those hopes that were dashed, they've now been reconstituted. All the things that they thought that they lost on the cross, now it's come back to them. Now they know who he is. Now they know who they are. All of that comes crashing and their eyes are open and their hearts are burning. And in that moment, when they know that death has been defeated, when hope has not been shattered, they have to decide, what are you going to do with this? And that, my friends, that's the ultimate crossroad that we face all the time. What are we going to do with this? What are we going to do with this risen Savior that wants to be the Lord of our life? They told us it was almost evening. So when they headed back to Jerusalem to make that 7-mile journey, you can figure out how long that takes, depending upon how long it takes you to walk 7 miles or sprint 7 miles or whatever. Maybe that was the first 4-minute mile plus however much. It was dark And in this tradition, sunset starts the next day. This is their fourth day. This is their, what am I going to do with the rest of my life after encountering the risen Savior on the third day? They've stood, they've looked, they've listened, they've been shown. Now they're walking in it. Now they're running in it. Now they're dancing in it. Now they're shouting in it. Now they're so filled with the good news, there's no way to contain it. They've got to go tell somebody about it. Their lives will never be the same. Never. And those kinds of moments, they are all around us, my friends. Every day, in ordinary and extraordinary ways. You just heard Joe. The beauty of opening your home and your heart to another child. The joy, I see a Purvis, of going into prisons and offering the good news of Jesus Christ that we do in Kairos. The people that go and work at UM Harmony, the people at society, the folks who volunteer all over the place in our community. Why? Because they see people in need and they go to help. Every single day, you and I stand at this crossroads, and every single day we are invited to walk the way that Jesus would want us to walk for his glory and for the good of all of us around. The ultimate crossroad is to choose if we will be the Easter people that he has created us to be, and whether we will walk in the path that he lays out before us. Will you? Are you? God, we thank you. We thank you for what it means to follow you, what it means to love, to learn, what it means to put you first, what it means to follow no matter where you lead us, what it means to be changed forever. And for all that, God, and so much more, we give you.